Okay? Okay, so on the break, someone pointed out to me that it would be helpful if after the proclamation, I give you a few seconds to process and not rush you to the next thing, and I think that's wisdom. So if I do that, don't wonder why I'm doing it. I'm doing it, so we get a chance to process what's going on. Because something may not be a big deal to you, but somebody else may be going, oh my gosh, that was big. So I want to talk about broken dreams. When you have a dream, some dreams are from God. And as we know from Abraham, sometimes a dream from God can take decades to fulfill, and it can feel painful sometimes. And then we can begin to question, what happened? Did I go wrong? Did I mess up? Was that really God? No, I know that was God. And there goes on this, long-term thing, and it's very, very painful. Some dreams may not be from God. Some dreams may be of our own, just desires of our heart. When I was a kid, from my earliest birthday, you blow out the candles. I was probably 3, and I remember thinking, I am going to own a horse farm. I am going to work all my life until I have enough money to buy the land. I am going to run a ranch. I designed barn. By the time I'm in 8th grade, I'm architecting these barns with a raised tack room floor and the sliding doors. Well, guess what? After I began to serve God one day, my friend had show horses, these beautiful show horses. I'm out in the barn just petting this horse, and God says to me, idle. And when you, it might not sound like a big deal, but when you've dreamed of nothing else with every waking breath for all those years, let me tell you, it's like your whole world comes crashing. Well, I'd already made a determination, I will have no other God before him. So I was already made a decision. I won't have an idol. I hate idols. Hate them. But it took 6 months of crying to get over that. That was a broken dream. Well, broken dreams are very hurtful. And if you've had a dream, some people dream, after I got over that, God began to show me parables, pictures, visions of something I was called to do. Well, being young, God gives you a parable of a rocket taking off. Well, when you're in your 20s, you make that whatever you jolly well want it to be. He didn't tell me what the rocket was, but I made it into worldwide revival. After a few years go by, you think, okay, maybe not. And so, over time, then life deals you a few blows, and pretty soon you're like, coming in church and you're dragging one foot, just squeaking in through the door. And how you doing? I'm doing great, Lost a marriage, lost a home, lost a lot of blood, But here I still am, hallelujah, And you start to wonder, did I miss it? Did I misunderstand? And pretty soon you start to go through maybe anger, maybe frustration, maybe pain, and finally maybe I can't do this anymore. And you begin to shut down, and someone in here has done this. I did this. I had this thing called the preach, okay? And when you have that in you, you can't, it's like you try to cast it out. You try to make it go away. If there's no opening, it is so frustrating. You're preaching to the steering wheel when you drive. You're preaching to the seagulls, and you just can't stop preaching because it's in there, and it's like, wah, I was a better preacher in my 20s than I probably am now. There was a fire. I was so fiery. But after so many years of no open door, I said, I can't do this anymore, and I shut down the gift. Capped it. I'm only saying, I wasn't going to bring that up today, but somebody here has capped their gift. In fact, more than one. And I wasn't going to deal with this, but we're going to deal with it. There's people in here that you have felt like your gift was not desired in your realms of fellowship, okay? And they may have been misunderstood. And this isn't anything against anybody, but sometimes that makes us shut down, makes us feel not valued. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every word that has been spoken that doesn't line up with God's will. We receive God's will concerning your life, your mission, and your purpose. We open it up. I call forth an openness of those giftings. I call on your gift. The body of Christ needs your gift, whatever it is. We pull on that gift in you. We ask you, Lord, to make a way. If someone's been not valued or not understood, Or maybe it's not time yet. Sometimes it's not time yet. And Father, we give it to you. But we uncap that which has been capped in the name of Jesus. We release it in a healthy and safe way in Jesus' name. All right, that part was free. I wasn't going to do that. And talk about the broken dream. You can actually come to believe, you get so disheartened, think, maybe it'll never happen. Maybe I missed. I'm cutting in and out, is that? All right, well, hallelujah. That's the ear pincher. Yeah, I'll take that one. Yes, you think my ear stuck out before? All right, hallelujah. Let's see if that works better. So what begins to happen as we start to shut down our emotions and say, you know, I don't know what happened. We know God didn't change his mind. Maybe I missed him in the first place. Think about Abraham all those years waiting for the promise. One scripture God has given me that I love is it says, Abraham grew strong in faith. He didn't allow his heart to give up on God or say, well, I guess maybe it wasn't God. Listen, when God talks to you, you know it's God. Deep down in your heart, you know it's God. Now, I will tell you the problem. The problem is that your spirit is ready, but your flesh is not. Amen. Your person has to be prepared fully. And if it's not, you'll just make a mess. You say, well, I've already got the gift. Yes, you were probably born again with it. But your person has to be prepared. You have to have wisdom. I thought I was so ready. I was so not ready. You know, literally, I had to go through what's called a death process. Die to the thing so God could raise it up his way. Because true ministry, it's his, not ours. He gets all the glory. We did nothing. And when we've truly died to the thing and he resurrects it, now you've got a ministry that's worth something. Because it's not yours, it's his. So again, the part of our heart goes numb and we can shut down. I call it shut down because it's like literally we just say, well, that doesn't exist anymore. But whether you know it or not, that causes you to limp in your relationship, your closeness with the Father.
Can you repeat that very last word? What causes you to limp?
I think when you have emotional shutdown over a promise, a hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? When it comes, it's a tree of life. But what if it's a long wait? And so, for me, I remember feeling very shut down, loving God with all my heart. I never stopped loving him, but I just couldn't keep that hope alive because to keep it alive meant more pain. I'm talking to people in this room. And so I got to a point where I just couldn't deal with it anymore and just said, shut down. The day that my husband died, the day that Edgar died, the Lord said, come away with me. I was thinking, well, I knew I'd go away with you, but I was thinking I'd have a day or two first. So I made a reservation at a hotel and went to a hotel. And God said to me, he said, I'm going to start to do the stuff I promised you in your 20s. Oh, I'm 61. I was probably 59 when he died. And you know what I said? I don't really want to. I love you, but I'd really rather you pick somebody else. Don't ever say that to God. God, in all his glory, said, well, guess what? Hallelujah. Guess what? He said, I told you in your 20s that there were certain things that if you would do, I would do these things. He said, you did them. I have therefore obligated myself. So guess what? We're doing it. Whether you want to or whether you don't. So you might as well want to. And it was hard to do, but I had to repent. And I had to allow that part of my heart to live again. And I knew that that might involve opening myself to disappointment and pain, right? But I made a decision that day, and I sat on that couch in that hotel room and said, Lord, I apologize. You are Lord, I am not. I said so, meant it. If you want to do this great thing now, I will not only do it, I will embrace it. I will embrace it with joy. I will serve you with all my heart. You give me the grace to do it joyfully. You know, and I repented. And what happened? Opened the door of my heart again, right? See, because when you want to meet, I love meeting with God face to face. I want to meet with Him in the glory. I love the presence. And I like when it's open and you just step in, wham. But when we have all this stuff in the way, that's not as easy. But the freer you get, the easier it gets to just be there before the throne instantly. You understand? Freedom, you know, it just can't be, it's just so important. So, you may love the Lord your God with all your heart, but you can't feel it anymore. This is one of the signs of shutdown. You can't feel how much you love Him. You know, I love Him, but I just can't feel anymore. I want to continue, but I can't feel it. There's a numbness, or even anger. You may still have anger. That's part of the thing you go through. I said this before, but some people will say, I used to feel His presence, but I don't feel it anymore. I used to hear His voice, but I don't hear it anymore. And those are signs of emotional shutdown. In the midst of this, the enemy comes along over and over and says, God doesn't want to talk to you, or God is mad at you, or God is done with you, or you've blown it so bad you can never make it right, blah, 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 blah. And remember, that's His job. His job is to keep you out of the presence. It's to keep you disconnected from relationship. It's okay if you want to go do works and condemn yourself or pat yourself on the back. That's okay. But whatever you do, don't go in that place of presence, because that's where the power is. Because if you connect in your relationship with God, if you get healed enough to connect, is the devil knows it's over for him. So he's a nervous Nelly. He's going to try to keep you out of the Holy of Holies. And he's going to do it with every lie. He'll sling every kind of lie he can at you. God teaches me by vision, and He gave me a vision one time of this open door to the Holy of Holies, wide open. And this believer was reading the scripture and saying, oh, come therefore, you know, into the Holy of Holies, you know, by a new and living way. And this believer is on their way in, and outside the door stood this devil. And the devil had a sword of lies. And he was poking this believer and saying, you can't go in there. You're not worthy to fellowship. Who do you think you are? You can't go before the Most High. You're a dirty dog. You said a bad word yesterday. You had anger. So you got mad when you were driving. Who do you think you are? And the believer, this is the vision, the believer went, oh, you're right. And they put their head down and made a U-turn. And the whole time God was going, but come in. Come in. Let me wash you. Let me cleanse you. I'll make it right. I'll help you. I'll set you so free you don't do that stuff again. You know, don't worry about what you have done. I can set you free. You see, we are looking at things the wrong way. Devil tries to seal the door shut of your heart, right? So that you can't encounter God as fully as you desire to. If you're born again, you have something called a heart cry. You desire God and His will with all your heart in your inner man. Your flesh may not always line up with that. But in your born again spirit, you love God with everything you've got. You would die for Jesus. That's your born again spirit. But that's been cloaked with all the stuff, right? So God wants to help us to become who we really are in the Spirit. So I have a proclamation that I'm going to... Some of you, as I've been talking, you may have some things filtering up, you know. Like, yeah, I have a bunch of broken dreams. Yeah, things didn't work out the way I thought. I guess we're never going to do it. You may have some of that going on. We're going to do a proclamation, and then like my friend said, we'll take a few seconds in case anybody has to sort of soak with what the Holy Ghost says. So we're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring before You every disappointment and every broken dream, every hope that has been deferred. I lay it at Your feet. If these hopes and dreams be from You, You raise them up. You give them life. If they are not from You, I let them go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. And we talked a little bit about when we have a wall up of self-protection. We talked about sometimes our hurt is very great and we have a need for self-protection, so we build a wall so no one can see. I've had it happen where someone calls me for prayer, you know, like a one-on-one, okay? And my hope is always that we'll go deep by the Spirit and heal whatever needs healing, or direct whatever, you know, by the Spirit only. But I've had it happen where the person calls and I think, you know, and I know they need healing. I don't know about everybody, but sometimes by the Spirit I know somebody's really been, you know, really been mistreated. I know. And yet their wall is up so high that they're like, I'm good, everything's good, I'm good, it's all good, I'm good. And you know, I can't help them. I want to, but I'll go as far as I can. But you know why? God is never rude. God isn't going to come, you know, that would be like someone coming in your house and barging in and cleaning your back room, you know, the one that is closed. Most of y'all don't have that room, I'm sure. You know, the one where the stuff goes. The stuff. And somebody comes just barging in and they go to your stuff room and they just start going, well, you don't need this. And you don't want that. You have it. You know. Stand on my stuff. Well, see, God is not like that. And so if you have a wall up, you know, He loves you and He wants to heal you. Like I said, you don't have to let people in, but you do have to let God in. So that wall causes a shortage of true interaction and relationship with God. God has given us, He has sovereignly given us the authority to rule over our own soul. If we lock a room in our heart or build a wall, He will not force that lock to heal us. We have to give Him, actively, proactively give Him permission. We'll deal with that in trust issues. Okay. It is okay. I'll quote the scripture later, but I was shocked when someone quoted me a scripture. Said, cursed is the man who puts his trust in another man. Shocking. You know, because I thought loving, you know, you're just supposed to, when I first got saved, I just thought everyone who was saved was kind and nice and, you know, I really thought that everyone who was born again was pure in heart and wanted holiness and, you know, wow. But the Lord is saying if we put too much trust in humans, they're going to let us down. If you put too much trust in me, I might have a day where I don't do it right and maybe I hurt your feelings, don't even know I did it. But it does say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is not like humans. He's nothing like us. He's so mighty. He's always good. And one of the greatest revelations you can ever get is that God only has good for you. He's always looking out for your best interest. When you give Him an area and you're kind of scared to give Him that area and to rule over it, you can always know He will always do what builds the kingdom and what helps you. And you may say, well, that doesn't feel like it helps me what He's doing right now. He has a plan. Yeah. He has a plan. It won't always feel like it. But you trust Him. God is all, He's nothing but good. He doesn't have anything bad in Him for you. He's always looking out for your best interest. So it is, I'm not telling you just trust everybody and open your heart to people. Don't do that. They will hurt you. Unless you've, you know, ask God who you can be safe with. Because you want your healing to happen in a safe place, right? You know, hallelujah. But you can always go to the throne room and say, I'm hurting God and I don't even know why. Will you help me? Somewhere in me, I've got a problem and I don't know what it is. Will you help me? We need to be so close to Him that we can just tell Him everything. You know, He knows the worst part of me, hallelujah. And He always fixes it as only He can. So I'm just going to say this. We've tried to create a safe place. We don't ever expose people. We don't ever tell on people. And we don't... This is a holy thing between your heart and God. So if you open yourself to God in this room, no one will know but God. Okay? It's a safe environment. We don't judge people. And the reason is, you know, whatever you've done wrong, I've probably done it too. You know, God delivered me from garbage. So we don't believe in that. So I'm going to have you, if you've had any kind of wall or mask up and you feel like it's been hard for you to fully open to God, here's the problem. If you were beat up or beat down or belittled, you quickly learned, okay, I'm not going to show myself to people. But I've actually found that sometimes people have that with God. I can't really tell him my heart. I can't say I'm angry because it's not okay to be angry, so I'm just going to pretend I'm not. That member I told you I had a mask for all those years because I shut down emotion. Remember that? When God set me free, you know, because I repented, I was sitting at work one day and I thought, what is this feeling? I've never felt this before. And I thought, this is anger. This is what anger feels like. I'm mad. I'm really mad. And boy, does it feel good. God, I had never even allowed anger. You know, emotions are a gift from God. All anger is not wrong, right? There's some anger that the Holy Ghost has. Sometimes the Holy Ghost anger comes up in you, you know? So what I'm saying is it's okay to have emotions, but it's not okay to leave them locked and unprocessed. And we can bring those before God and say, I'm just livid, will you help me? Or whatever the deal is. Because God can heal you and deliver you until you're free and you can walk in peace and you don't have to deal with all that stuff. So in case anyone is dealing with an issue of a mask, we're going to say this. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give you every room of my heart. If I have hidden parts of my heart from people, to protect my heart, I open those areas to you to heal them. My trust is in you alone. I know that you will heal me and not harm me. You are truly good. I want you to be truly Lord of every area of my life, my soul, and my decisions. In Jesus' name. I'll just give that a minute. While we're waiting, I'm just seeing someone's heart. It's almost like some of the, you've carried pain for a long time, and I saw it melting off your heart, just almost like draining. I saw someone with sorrow you have carried a long time. Someone here lost a child, lost a little one, and you've carried sorrow for a long, long time. And I saw God put his hand into this. It was like a lake of sorrow. And I saw him put his hand in it. And I don't know what this means to you, but he says, I'm redeeming. I'm redeeming. I don't know what this is about, but I saw someone where your mind or maybe your physical brain has had some attack. And has caused, you'll be going along thinking really clear and thinking straight, and then all of a sudden it'll be like a, just almost like a whirlwind, and it's hard to even remember what your plan was. You'll make a plan and go along for a while, and then it's just like it gets waylaid. And I believe that's from the enemy, and I saw the Lord sweep his hand and just wipe that away, like gone. I saw another person, you had thorns in your heart, and they come over the years of people have spoken some words. The person I'm talking to, you haven't always fit in. Did this go off, or can you hear me? Okay. And I saw these thorns, and they were like those long brown needle thorns, and they were stuck in your heart. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I break every hurtful word. We reverse in the name of Jesus all the words that were spoken that don't line up with what God says about you. And we proclaim over you that you are loved by God, accepted in the Beloved. You're part of His family, and you're part of Him in the name of Jesus. I saw this earlier, but I saw someone that is dealing with regret. And you worry about something that happened in your life. And I saw the Lord just so gently take your head. Your head was looking back at the past and worrying about what you think you did wrong. And the Lord just gently took your head and went and brought it forward and said, please look forward from now on and don't look back. I'm not looking at that, and I don't want you to look at that anymore. please. You've carried it too long. It's over and done with. It's covered with the blood. Hallelujah. Someone here has been having stomach issues. I saw something with the lining of the stomach. God is restoring the wall lining of the stomach. He's restoring to fullness right now in the name of Jesus. We had a lady in Waukegan. No. Where were we? Kenosha. That she'd lost 100 pounds because she was so sick. And I saw a very similar thing and proclaimed it. And she was healed. And she was not able to walk. I think she said she couldn't even walk a block before it happened. And the very next day they went into the forest preserve and walked 9 miles. She was healed completely, still healed now. Somebody here has, we're just going to go for a minute. Hallelujah. Somebody here has been having neck issues. It's like at the base of the neck, it caused you to have issues when you're trying to turn your head or turn your neck. And I saw God, you know, God is, I always tell God, He's my chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And I saw God just pull in the neck, went ding, 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 like just alignment in the neck. But you're going to be able to turn your head better. Without stiffness and without pain. Somebody here has had issues with your elbow. I believe it's your left elbow. It's almost like it got hit or something happened to it and it has caused you problems, especially when you're trying to lift. So you're trying to lift a heavy box, but it your elbow was really giving you trouble. And I saw the Lord put His hand on your elbow like that. He's healing your elbow. I saw something behind the right shoulder blade, and it has caused, what do they call it, radial pain. Sometimes pain is not just in your shoulder and in your back, but even can go down your arm, and you've wondered what is that about. And God is, it's like, I almost sense it's like a pinched nerve, so I just speak in the name of Jesus that that be released and completely relax. We speak peace to that muscle and tendon and that nerve in Jesus' name. Someone's been having issues with their eyesight. I don't know if this is cataracts or what this is about, but in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You are restoring eyesight to its fullest. I'm seeing eyes open, like the lights go on. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Just a couple of more and then we're going to have some fun. Okay. So we mentioned trust issues and we quoted the scriptures that, you know, God isn't necessarily telling us to put all our trust in man, but He is saying trust in the Lord. If you have trust issues, it's usually because there was a pattern in your life of being betrayed or being lied to, or just like, if I open myself to people, I'm just going to get nailed. Ooh, this is a toughie. Some people have been hurt in churches, and there's been a pattern where you've gone to a church, gotten hurt, gone to the next church, given it a couple of years, gotten hurt. And you got to the point where you said, I'm just not going to go to church. Uh-oh. And God's not condemning you. He loves you, but He's healing that. Because we go back to the expectations. Remember we talked about sometimes we expect Christians to be a certain way, and sometimes they're just not. Sometimes they're just, you know, sometimes a Christian is a drug addict that just got delivered and they don't know up from down yet. So if you go to church thinking they're going to look out for your best interest, honey, you just, you know, need to wake up. And by the way, when you get old enough in the Lord, you stop thinking about what the church is going to do for you and you start to think, maybe I'm going there to help somebody. Maybe I'm there to help somebody else. Stop judging your pastor. Oh, I can't believe I said that out loud. Stop judging. Well, I'm like that sermon. Well, can you do it better? Alrighty. Ooh, I'm being tough today. Okay, so if you have had issues and you feel like, do you want to say anything about anything with trust? Or are you good? Okay, so I actually have a CD back there somewhere called Trusting God, and it's about trusting God, even if man has hurt us. And sometimes, like I said in the very beginning, sometimes our emotions can't discern. We just say, I don't trust. But that puts God in the same category as man. And so we aren't totally willing to let God control because we don't wholly trust what he's going to do with our life. So because our emotions can't make that distinction, we're going to now like train them with proclamation, okay? I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. If I have had issues trusting you in any way, because of wounds that I have received, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I know that you are not like humans, and you will never fail me. I ask you for the grace to trust you with all my heart in every area of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I just saw someone letting go, like letting go. This just wasn't on the agenda, but I just feel like there's someone here, probably more than one, and you've tended to be a bit controlling. But the reason is that you were so hurt, you know, that control became a way to make sure you weren't hurt again. You know, making people do, you know, what you want them to do, then you're not going to get hurt if it's set up the way. But as we said earlier, that's a way of trying to be God. It's actually idolatry. And I saw that at this point, I believe you're ready to say, I'm going to let go. That's a toughie, isn't it? But I see you ready, this one person, I see you ready to let go of the control of running your life, making things line up the way you think they should, because that's not giving him lordship, is it? When we truly give him lordship, we are trusting him. Now we still do what he tells us to do, but we don't do what he tells us not to do, and we let him rule. That's a big step for somebody here, but I believe we're making that. So I'm just going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I release the control to you. To you. I'm not going to control it anymore. I'm not going to be the fixer. But I'm going to believe you to do it. Teach me how. In Jesus' name. Okay. Hallelujah. That was large right there for somebody. And what we're going to do, we're going to do one more. And we'll have our like announcements and stuff. And then we're going to have, we're not going to pray for people individually, but Lori and I are going to minister by the Spirit the stuff we see going on in the room.
Holly?
Yes, ma'am.
When we were doing that that proclamation, can you hear me? I actually saw like a wedge, like with a deep covering of like a manhole covering over this wedge, like pushed down. And I heard the words, children. And when we were saying this, I believe there's some people in here who are controlling their children in the best interest of God. That's the filter they're using, but it's really a form of idolatry. And it's a trick from the enemy to keep your kids from what God has for them. I see like this, their hands, but they have gloves on them. So it's like they're not pure. They're micromanaging. And so I think we need to do a proclamation to release our children into their destiny. I feel like there's this false belief system of, I know what's best for my kids. And if they would only do this, they would do what's best for themselves and God. But see, there's this it's a disconnect. It's not God's best. And when you're holding on to what you think is best for your kids, you're not allowing God to have his way. It's like, do you really trust God with your kids? And I when we were saying that prayer of trust, you know, releasing, I actually could see there were some people saying it, but there was such a stronghold on their hearts that they don't even consider that there possibly could be an issue of micromanagement with their kids. And so I feel like God's like shaking us right now, like, you know, because I know I'm a mom, so I know what it's like to raise kids, and I also know what it's like to lay them at the cross. I've seen how well I did, and I see what God's doing. And His ways are higher always, but there's this issue of trust because they're our flesh and blood. But really, they have the DNA of Jesus Christ in them. And so there's this disconnect I see, and it's actually causing, well, chaos in the spirit realm, because your heart is, I want to do what's right for my kids, but there's a distrust of, you know, you don't trust that God really is going to come through. Because don't you see what it looks like in the natural? Well, remember, we're seated in heavenly places, far above. So I feel like we need to, I'm seeing it. Oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, don't look here. That's me. I'm seeing this in the spirit. And it's like God is shaking us awake, because it's, you know, this has been going on since pretty much birth for some of you. So it's so caked with flesh, you don't recognize that you're even holding on to this. And in fact, the breath of God can't breathe because you've got a stronghold so tight. He can't get through. So I'm seeing that. I'm hearing the words preparation of heart. So I believe that we are going to release our children right now. And actually, you know, the cross is a wonderful place to visit. Promises come from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a great exchange. And right now, God is calling us to make that exchange. So when I have to come to the cross, I actually visualize whatever it is I'm taking to the cross. If it's my kids, I'm going to lay them at the cross. And so I close my eyes, and I want you all to close your eyes. And if there's a family member, any relationship that you have where there's chaos in any form, remember, chaos is usually the enemy. God is peace. So if there's a family member where there's chaos or brokenness, God is asking us to lay that person at the cross and take the great exchange. You know, cast your burden to Jesus right now. Cast your cares to Jesus right now. Lay your child down at the cross right now. And then pick up the peace of Jesus Christ. Make the great exchange today. And then call on His grace. Because your flesh is going to want to pick this up again. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to quicken inside of us when we start to think about taking back our kids. Lord, we present our children to You right now.
Yes.
We present them to You.
Yeah.
To do with as You will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we breathe life right now. We breathe destiny. We open destiny right now into our children and our children's children. We declare victory in the name of Jesus for our children and our children's children. I command every stronghold, every form of bondage, whether it's from us or from the enemy, to be loosed right now off our children and our children's children and our hearts attached to those dreams.
Yes.
I speak breakthrough. I release the healing powers of Jesus Christ right now to heal the brokenness in our hearts, to heal the brokenness in our children's hearts. And Father, I hear You calling us close. You're calling us home. Back into our purpose. Back into who You created us to be. I receive and I release this right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I see a cloud in here. It's a huge cloud, and it's the healing. It's the release of the healing. And I see the Lord meeting us and taking it away. So we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen.
I saw God lifting metal yokes off the neck, off the shoulders, things you've carried that you weren't made to carry. Sometimes we don't realize we take a burden and we let it become our burden. And I just see Jesus gently lifting and saying, "Let me carry it. You weren't made to carry that. Let me take it." And he's taking these burdens, saying, "I want to carry this for you." I'm seeing that as you get more and more free, the more you yield to God, oddly, the more he's able to do. And I'm seeing restoration of that which was lost. Restoration in the spirit. Just, I see over the next 6 months, I'm going to share a little story. A lady, just her family was a bit broken. And as we prayed, it was agonizing. You know, when there's a broken relationship, you know, and you're a mom, that's just agonizing, right? Her kids were grown, but there's just brokenness. And as she released it back to God, like wholly released it into his, you know, like, "You deal with it. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to let this be an idol to me. I'm not going to let this own my heart." Her entire family turned around and came back. And she had gone for years without that happening. And we see it all the time. We are the ones that sometimes stop God from the very thing we're begging him so hard to do. The more we're able to release it, if something is an idol to you, you know, prayer is good. I love prayer. But if we're praying with about something because it's become so important to us, if you in your heart, here's one way to tell if something's an idol. When you think about it this way, when that happens, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. When you give it to God and say, "Listen, I'm giving you this. This is your problem and not mine. I'm asking you to do it, and I'll keep praying and stuff. But I'm not going to own this, and I'm not going to let it own me. These are your kids. This is your family. These are your relationships. I'm giving it to you. I know you will do what's best." What just happened? You took something. Let's say this was the problem and you were doing this. You know, "I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. I'm going to fix it. You know, that doesn't work that well. That's not real prayer anyway, because prayer, real prayer, has faith. This is it. "Lord, I'm giving you that. I'm taking my hands off it. I hope that you bring that thing around, and I hope that they'll make right choices. I can't force them to make right choices, but I'm giving it to you, and that is not going to own me. That is not going to be an idol to me. I'm blessing you with it." Now, what you just did is put it in his hand where he can do something with it. You know? And the other thing, I mean, years ago, hundreds of years ago, it feels like, my life fell apart. Lord, you want me to tell a story? Hallelujah. I was married before I was married to Edgar. I had another marriage, so don't fall off your chair. I was married to a young man, and we were in the church. You know, we were spirit-filled, and he was in helps and all that. And he became deeply entrenched in sin. Deeply, like getting arrested for sexual crimes and stuff. It was like my whole world fell apart. Now, prior to it, I was fasting half of every day. I was praying for hours, literally hours every day. I was like, you know, it just felt like I was kicking it in the spirit. And when this happened, it was like my whole world went spinning. Because first of all, I was just shocked. I didn't know he had this problem. And it grew worse. The more I prayed, the worse it got. The more I prayed, the worse it got. The more I prayed, the worse it got. And at first I was like, well, this is no big deal. God can deliver. I've seen God deliver. I've been used in deliverance. It's not a big deal. But what I didn't know was he didn't want to be delivered. And God will not force someone to make a choice. That's one thing God will not do. He will not override man's will. So years went by, and believing God, and here now the real hurt was I knew I was called to ministry. Well, how can you minister if this is going on in your house? And you can't tell anybody at church. You can't rat on them. Right? Nobody knew. So for years, I'm living in this hellish existence, afraid to walk in the house. What am I going to walk in on? You know, or going in hoping I'll catch it. It's horrible. Some of you have lived this stuff and you can't tell anybody. But the worst thing I did, I made a great mistake and didn't know it for years. A few years ago, I said, Lord, I used to move so strongly in a certain gift, and it seems like it stopped. Lord, why did it stop? And I went immediately right back to that moment, because you know what happened? I shifted my focus off of Jesus and onto him, getting him fixed, getting him delivered. I was still praying. I was still fasting. I was doing the stuff, but my focus was no longer Jesus. And so it's not that the gift was ever taken away, but I messed up. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. That thing can't own you. If you're living with something tough and you can't tell anybody, your focus has to stay on Jesus and what he's got to own that thing. You can't own it. And when you cease to own it, then God can go to work and do the best that he can do. Amen. I had no...
Allie?
Yes, ma'am?
I keep hearing ever since Lori was doing the thing about our kids, about soul ties. And
good.
I saw when you did the demonstration just now, and you put the cell phone at the other end of the table, and you said, when my hands are off of it, then God can do something with it. And I just felt to say that a soul tie in the spirit is like when that cell phone's plugged in, but if it was plugged in like to our heart, like it's like a tube in the spirit. And I just felt like we need to do a proclamation over unhealthy soul ties.
Amen. That's really good, Kim. That's really good. It's true. I'm just going to expand on that a little bit. I was praying for a young woman at the altar, and God showed me a picture of a young man behind her. He wasn't there, but I could see a picture of this. And he was pulling on her, and she kept being drawn back to him. And I said, honey, there was somebody in your life, you had a relationship with him, and you broke up, but there's still a control tie there. There's a soul tie there, and he's still pulling on you, and it's pulling you back into lust. And she said, yeah. Amen. So we broke the soul tie, because if someone has an inroad, and especially there's different kinds of soul ties, but a soul tie where you, hallelujah, if you were ever joined to someone physically, what does the Bible say? You became one with them. And if that person was not, you know, did not work out or wasn't, you know, holy, especially if there's a control or manipulation tie in the realm of the spirit, it brings confusion and an open door. So that's what Kim's talking about, is that sometimes people have control ties over their kids, and it can own your heart, so you're trying to give it to God, but you can't. You're trying to give it to God, but you can't, but there's still a tie in the spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you're giving them up. It doesn't mean you're giving up a relationship, okay? But I never allow soul ties with anybody but Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, because who you have a soul tie with, that's who has an inroad into your soul and heart. So I think Kim's right. We'll just do a proclamation here.
Can you use a soul tie with your addiction, if you have addiction?
I actually think you can. I mean, I'm no expert, but I will say that I think I've experienced something like that, that I believe God has broken. I also think you can have a soul tie with organizations, particularly if they are given to control, that you may have to do a little cleanup, you know. So I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If I have developed any unhealthy soul ties,
if I have developed any unhealthy soul ties
or spirit ties,
or spirit ties,
I release them, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I declare myself free.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Now remember, if it's someone you love, if it's your child, it doesn't mean you're not loving them or praying for them or believing for your relationship. It's just that sometimes a wrong tie will really mess things up. Okay? I just feel like I'm supposed to say this. My mom was one of my best friends. She was just an awesome lady. But she did have a bit of a controlling problem. And because of it, most of the other kids in my family were completely alienated from her because they so resented the control. Okay, so my mom has passed away and is long gone, and I still have to minister to my siblings because there's still bitterness about the control. Okay, control is not a friend. All right, I'm going to do one more little thing that I feel like the Lord gave me, and then we'll go into more of a, then maybe we'll take a little break and do our stuff. All right, I want to talk about the signs of shutdown. We've talked a lot about emotional shutdown, where we shut down a part of our soul or our heart. And of course, you know, there's like a process you may go through, pain, maybe even anguish, despair, sometimes depression, sometimes anger, listlessness, apathy, just don't feel like doing the stuff. Hopelessness can come. Feeling completely alone, no one understands my pain. Feeling like just no one gets it. I've just been through so much. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to those that are brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." It is true that humans don't understand your pain quite often. I remember when I was in the throes of it, for some years, I really longed to die. I'll be honest with you. I thought if I could just die, my pain would be over. That's a lie from the pit, because the devil wanted to cut off the plan of God, right? So depression, despair, suicide, those come from the enemy to try to cut off the plan. And to persuade you the lie, it's never going to get any better. Big lie. That's not true. God has it in His hand. Well, one of the things that helped me, I was struggling because it felt like I would go to church and I would just be sorry if I shared anything. You know, so I just learned, don't tell anybody. Just don't tell them. And I just felt alone, so alone. And one day I was praying this man over the phone who's a minister and a friend. And he said, "Don't expect anyone to understand your pain, because it's your pain." And I was like, "Thank you, thank you." But God does know and understand. He was tempted. Jesus was tempted in all ways, like as we are. He was hurt. Excuse me. Excuse me. He was wounded. He was belittled, betrayed, lied about, and killed. Jesus gets it. It says He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus knew about a broken heart. He gets it and He cares. And He said, "I came to heal the brokenhearted." In another place it says, "A bruised reed He will not break." The biggest problem, I think I shared a little bit of this, but the biggest problem with shutdown is that if that dream you had was from the Lord, then when He wants to resurrect it, you're just done. You're just like, I don't have it. I just don't have it, Lord. I used to, for years, I would say, He would tell me I was called to preach, and I'd say, I had a friend, Rob, our friend Rob, he's a man of the glory, called in the presence. I'd say, "Pick Rob, you know, use Rob. Just, you know, go get him, God, you know. Get Rob, I'm tired." And one day, you know, God put up with that for a while. But He said, "I'm not picking Rob, I'm picking you." You know? Okay, I'm sorry. So that's the problem with then the when God wants to resurrect that dream, right? What if God said, "Okay, it's finally time to have Isaac and Abraham"? "I just don't want to anymore, God. I'm just too hurt, God." Right? That's what happens. So if you are aware, you know, probably as I've been talking, certain things may rise up, even maybe some things we didn't talk about. you are free to share those or ask for help with those or not, or come up with your own proclamation. I think you get by now that this proclamation, it is a legal thing in the spirit that closes the door to the lie of the enemy and closes the door to the demonic influence, right? Because you've had an open door, you shut the door. So we're going to say this if there's been any part of shutdown in your life. I'm going to have you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
If I have shut down part of my heart, regarding a dream or vision of yours,
I choose to obey you.
If it's something you want, then I choose to want it too.
Give me the grace to follow where you lead.
To embrace it joyfully.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.